Well, as you see, eternal versus temporal. Anybody need a definition of those two words? Or you kind of know those two words? Eternal and temporal. Well, Lord, we just come before you today and we thank you for eternal life. We thank you, Lord, that we are your children. We thank you that you have caused us to be born again in a living hope. And Lord, help us to grab hold of all that you have grabbed hold of for us, that we would be and experience and realize all that you have for us, Lord. And help us, Lord, to be what you have made us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when you go through the Bible, you find out there's just a lot of dual things going on. And we've talked about the glory that come with the law versus the glory of the man himself, Jesus Christ, who gave the law. But, I mean, the law has only a certain amount of reflective glory of God. The person is the fulfillment of that glory. And we've received Christ in us, the hope of glory. So, you see, it all goes together with things like things not seen versus things seen. Faith and sight. Spirit and flesh. Shakeable and unshakable. The gospel message that we have is rooted in the foundation of eternal things, not temporal things. Things not seen, rather than things seen. Things believed in by our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the gospel is based in. And if we don't know that, then we tend to maybe get confused and start basing our Christian thoughts in temporal things and starting to form a gospel around a temporal idea rather than an eternal idea. And we get, in fact, we can almost make provision for the flesh in our gospel. Ever thought about that? Make no provision for the flesh, the scripture says. We cannot make provision for our flesh to live. The flesh is of the temporal, the spirit is in the eternal. We are spiritual beings, not fleshly beings. The fleshly things are the things that are created. Created things cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's an interesting statement. Everything created needs to be changed. I'll bring out this scripture a little later, but I'll say it right now. In Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about the shakable and the unshakable. Which things are shakable as of created things, is what it says. The created things are all shakable, and they will be shaken out, so that those things which are unshakable might remain. Things that are not created. For the imperishable replaces the perishable. The perishable must put on the imperishable. This is why Jesus says you must be born again. In other words, you must be of the new creation, which is really, it talks more about being a new creature in Christ. But it's of something heavenly, not something earthly. It's going to be, our creation that we're in now as Christians is of heaven, not of earth. There was an earthly, but there's also a heavenly. We'll read that right here. The first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthly, so all those who are earthy. As is the heavenly, so all those who are heavenly. Just as we've been born in the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must put on the imperishable, and the mortal must put on immortality. Wow. Is this true? Paul sums up what is going on with the gospel in these two men, Adam and Christ. Everything that happened in Adam points us to Christ. Adam is the natural, Christ is the spiritual. Adam is from the earth, Christ is from heaven. We were all born in the earthy. We must be born again in the heavenly. Adam was the first man, he became a living soul. Jesus, the last Adam, became a life-giving spirit. Adam is the first man, Christ is the second man. Christ is eternal, Adam was temporal. First the temporal, then the eternal. First the natural, then the spiritual. That's just the summation. Paul just summed up some things there. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, it's not just about you sinning. It's not just about what bad things you've done. That's not really the sum of things. It's about a whole people. It's about the first creation. All the descendants of Adam are sin. There's a whole generation, a whole genealogy that's full of sin. Yeah, you know, I said the word generation. How many generations are there in Christ, by the way? There's just one. One generation in Christ. There isn't a second generation in Christ. That cleared up a scripture for me when I finally got that. All these things will happen in this generation. There's only one generation in Christ. There is only one. All right. 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though the outer man, this outer being here, as you get older, for you young ones, and as I get older, speaking to those who are ahead of me, Adeline, I'm glad there's someone ahead of me. You know, it gives us some hope. But this outer person, this outer being is decaying. Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. The inner man is that which is eternal. This outer man is just temporal. Good news. Good news. Then he slips into some. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So these momentary light afflictions. Do you suppose these momentary light afflictions are happening in that which is seen or that which is not seen for you? Most of the things that we have as afflictions are the things that are what we go through every day. What you might be going through, doing this or doing that. Sicknesses, persecution, troubles, whatever else you might be going through is all part of this process. But I'm telling you, at the end of the day, if all these persecutions, actually, you die from them, praise God. Because in the end of the day, we have an eternal body, an eternal being, which is from heaven. Heavenly. Good news. We can get through the momentary light afflictions because in the end of the day, we have a glorious body which will be forever. In fact, in Psalm 103, it says, before the Lord, you're always young. It says that. I was reading that to my mom yesterday. You're always young before the Lord. That's good news. If you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, suppose that you're stubborn and you say, I'm not going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, all you got left is a perishable thing. That's all you got. Without the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in you, everything else perishes. True? Do the temporal things perish? You bet they do. They will perish. That's why Jesus says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish. If you don't believe in Him, that's all you got is perishable things. He is the eternal life. It's His life that's eternal. You must have Him. He is eternal life. Jesus Christ is eternal life. You know, so often the church gets wrapped up in, oh, but I'm all my sins and all my stuff. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. He is the life-giving Spirit, period. All who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ have eternal life. Your inner man is incorruptible. Your outer man is decaying with afflictions. You can measure those afflictions if you want from whatever you can see. But in the end of the day, those afflictions will send you to the grave. Unless the Lord shows up first and you just get changed, you will die and you'll go to the grave. This body, which was formed of the earth, will go back to dust, from dust to dust. This body, even though the Lord has chosen to put this wonderful gift inside this perishable body. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves." And then he goes on, listen to his afflictions. "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but never destroyed." I had this one kid once. I've told this story many times, but I had this one kid in Red Lake. He was playing with my mind, you know. "Al Thompson, you won't make it home tonight." "Oh, why is that?" He said, "You will never know what hit you, but I'm going to take you out. I'll be in the woods as you drive by." I said, "Well, you can't kill me. I have eternal life. I'm sorry, but you can't kill me." "Thompson, you're weird." But the truth of the matter is, they can't take us out. Nobody can take you out. You have eternal life. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you never die. Period. That's the way it is. It's eternal things. It's, in fact, that's the entrance into the priesthood of Melchizedek. Is to have an indestructible life. If you read in Hebrews, that's the qualification to be in the priesthood of Melchizedek, is to have an indestructible life, of which you have, you're in that priesthood. Good news. The outer man will be replaced by a spiritual body at the return of Christ, either at the resurrection, which our earthly bodies will come out of the tomb and be resurrected, a spiritual body, or in the twinkling of an eye at the coming of the Lord, and we'll meet Him in the air. Either way, this body is not going to stick around forever. "For I know that if this earthly tent..." How many of you go camping? Jay Bunker was telling me he has a friend over in Cass Lake. His mom is still living and he's still living. But every summer he'd come up and camp in a tent right on Cass Lake in his mom's backyard. And one day he's in a tent now. He's camping right there. And one day he's packing up and he's going to the car and he says, "Where are you going?" He said, "Oh, we're going camping." Jay looked at him and says, "Okay." Well, they were going camping someplace else, but he was leaving that tent, and he had another tent, and he was calling that his home, and he was going camp, you know. But the thing is, "For we know that this earthly tent..." Now, Paul was a tent maker. He knew about tents, but this is an earthly tent. But I like that term tent, because for most of us, if you're in a tent, when we were building our house, first house, I didn't know much about building, but we decided to build a house anyway. And we built this house west of town there. It's still standing, which is a miracle. But while we were building that house, we lived in this tent. And, yeah. We were really glad to get a house. Getting all crowded in that tent. For we know that the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands. You get that? A house that isn't built. I believe that that's of God Himself, an eternal house from heaven. Now, God is also preparing a place for us. And I don't quite, some of that's a mystery. We can think about it or whatever, but it's a mystery. But I do know this, that we will have a body that's a spiritual body. One that is different. Never grows old. Always forever young. We can sing that song, Forever Young, and really sing it. Forever Young. So we must not think too much of this earthly house. We shouldn't think too much of the earthly house. We should steward it, take care of it, but don't get too attached. Don't get too attached. Therefore, always being of good courage. You know, when you're going through trials on this earth, whatever they may be, you're going through those perplexing times, those crushing times, those whatever times they're going through, how do you remain in good courage? How do you continue to have good courage? And you're going through the things on this earth. The way you go through that is to keep your eyes on heavenly things, not on earthly things. So we're always of good courage, knowing that while we are home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord. So our courage is not based on how well our physical being or physical things are doing. Our courage is based on our faith. Our faith. Our courage has to be based on our faith. We have courage on what is not seen. When you receive this glorious body, then you will be free. Free. Paul says, "Wretched man that I am, who shall free me from this?" Who will free me from this? Therefore, from now on, once you get this straight, this verse has some meaning. But therefore, from now on, we'll recognize no man according to the flesh. How are you going to recognize somebody not according to the flesh? I mean, what is it going to take not to recognize people according to the flesh? You have to be able to believe in the unseen rather than the seen. You've got to be able to believe that something is there. You've got to believe that the Word of God is true and that when someone is born again, they are a new creation, a new creature in Christ. Old things are gone, the old new things have come. You got to believe that. Otherwise, when someone in the flesh does good things, oh, that's okay. Keep doing the good things. But what about when they do the bad things? What about when things don't go the way you think they should? Is the love of God still the same? Is there something in you that still hasn't changed? When someone touches your stuff, someone steals your stuff. I think Stanford was practicing a little bit about getting rid of stuff. Huh, Stanford? But you know what? None of it gets to go with you anyway. I think that's a good practice. Probably should do more of those things. But to say, John Parsons gave a message once. It's all right to have stuff, he said, but it's not all right when the stuff has you. You can have stuff, but don't let stuff have you. When the stuff has got you, that's when the trouble gets in there. The flesh is what we can see using the five senses and feel and touch and whatever. They knew Jesus according to the flesh, but now they didn't quite know. The people on the road to Emmaus, they weren't so sure who this guy was, and he's there and he's gone and he's different. They see him frying fish on the shore, they're not really sure, and then Peter said, oh my God, it's the Lord. He puts on his clothes. We who have believed are no longer natural beings, we are supernatural beings. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away, behold, new things have come. It does not say coming. Although we do have a new body, but that's a done deal. So, what it does say, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Have come. So, if the Lord says it, we should believe it. So that we don't lose heart when things kind of go bad. How many of you know in this life you will run into bad things? Jesus said that in this life you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. These eternal things have overcome the temporal things. You're no longer a temporal thing, you're an eternal thing. And once you grab onto that, once you hold onto that and keep your eyes on that, you can go through just about, well, you can go through anything. Because you're secure. You're secure. And nobody can take you out. Nobody can do whatever. I mean, you can fall into the molten steel. While they're making cars, you know, they got this big molten steel and you fall in there, you're gone, right? It doesn't take you out. It didn't change who you are. Nothing on this earth can take you out. You're good to go. For our citizenship is in heaven. From which also we eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform this body of our humble state into the conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has. Isn't it good it's not up to you to get that done? You don't have to worry about how it's going to get done, but it will get done. It will happen. You will be changed. And it isn't up to you. That's good news. At least it is for me. We can worry about how we're going to do this and that. You know, how are we going to get all these things done? You know, you try to worry about getting all these things done. Well, at least you don't have to worry about that one. God gets it done for you. And He even knows how to spin trucks and trailers and stuff around and keep you safe. I mean, He can get it done. So we got to know about our citizenship, but we also have to know along with that the fact that our body is of this world. This body is of this world. This body is not the body for which we will become. Don't get attached to this body. You got a new one coming. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking things above. I want to think about this word above. I know that they use that term, but it's probably closer. When we think about this word above, a lot of people think above. I mean, it's so far out there. I'm way down here. It's way out there. It's not even something that I can... I'm telling you, it's closer than that. It's closer than that. It's a different realm, but it's close. Where does Jesus dwell? Here. Is he up above? Is he here? Is he seated in heavenly places? Where is all this stuff? We need to change our thinking about how far away things are. They're closer than you think. The Word of God, it says, it's in your heart and your mouth. This realm of heaven is probably a lot closer than we would want to think. It's probably even in our midst. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above. And really, if I could say, set your mind on eternal things, not on the things that are of earth. For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Wow. Wow. My life is hid with Christ in God. I just want to read this because the Lord told Israel about the promised land and about all the promises, and Israel would not enter into it because of unbelief. They wouldn't ever enter into that realm because of unbelief. Well, here it says, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. I mean, the words we've read today are, my comments, you can toss those out. But the Word of God, don't toss that out. It's true. It's true. And see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. The warning is that we need to believe this. We need to believe what God says about who we are and not doubt it. Because in this world, you will have tribulation. You will. And if you've lived a few years with cognizance, you've had tribulation. I don't think anybody in here has escaped tribulation. But the way to get through it is to have faith in who you are and what God has promised. For us, we have the Holy Spirit. He continually reminds us of all these things. And when that shaking comes, When the shaking comes, where are we going to be? What kind of a attitude are we going to be? Are we going to be looking for something to cover us, or are we going to be saying, God is faithful. God is eternal. I am eternal. This shaking will not affect who I am, because I have received an unshakable kingdom. I have indestructible life. I'm going to get through anything. Tornadoes, earthquakes, wars and rumors of wars, and whatever else the Scripture says in the last days will get increasingly and increasingly and increasingly. You're okay. You're unshakable. That which is eternal is unshakable. You will make it. So then, fellow saints, let us not get entangled with the things that are shakable. But let us keep our eyes on Jesus. For in Him we live and move and have our being. Which He brought about in Christ, which He raised up from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of in heavenly places. And my focus here is He seated Christ at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. The second one is the one that I want you to grab onto. But God raised us up with Him and seated us with Him. Wow. He seated us with Him. He's seated. We're seated with Him. You believe it? Do you see it? It's not about seeing, it's about believing. It's not about what you can, well, I don't know, it looks like I'm seated right here. Well, quit looking at what you can see and start believing what the Word of God says. Because it's true. You can believe it. You are seated with Him in heavenly places. That's why I don't think it's that far off. But the truth of the matter is, that's why we can get through the things on this earth. It's an eternal truth. It's not going to change. Before we could be put in Christ, we had to be holy. Nothing unholy can be in Christ. And you were made holy by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, wiping away your sin and offense. And the removal of your flesh through the circumcision of your heart, made without hands at the cross. And you were placed in Him through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful. Wonderful. Last slide, so we're going to get done. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance one for another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Once you grab on to something eternal, the bickering that goes on in the flesh becomes less and less important. Wouldn't you say? That the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Once you have grabbed on to the eternal, the temporal things don't hold their value. Once you have something so great, such a great salvation, then these things on this earth lose their value. I mean, when I was a kid, my toys and my sandbox were all, I mean, that was very valuable to me. Once I got a car, I don't need the sandbox toys anymore. The car is good. Huh? Have I had my car long? Well, that first one I had. And then I got a wife. And the car lost its value. You want me to stop there?
Yeah, I want you to stop there.
But in the end of the day, we have Jesus. And everything else loses its value. I went all the way, Ken. I bypassed a few steps. It's the Spirit that gives us the power to walk in humility, gentleness, patience, showing tolerance one to another. But I'm telling you, we can show that for one another. We can. We're encouraged in Galatians 5, if we live by the Spirit, let's also walk by the Spirit. We should come to a place where we hate what God hates. In my flesh lies no good thing. The only way to overcome is by faith. But it is faith in what our Father has accomplished for us through Jesus on the cross. Keep your faith in what Jesus has done. And He qualified us to be born again, to become children of God, to be holy and blameless and beyond reproach, so that we might be in the light and we might be the light of the world, shining, not putting it under a bushel basket, but setting it on a hilltop, letting it shine, and letting the world know what eternal life is all about. Having confidence. We are of good courage. Well, once you've got this, you can be of good courage to the day you leave this earth. There's nothing that would discourage you because you have eternal life. You have the promises of God. And it's good to go. God does not lie. So I want to encourage us all to grab on, because the days that we live in, the days that we're seeing today, they're going to get, by our eyesight and by what we see, the days will get darker, the situations will get more and more and more delicate and more dangerous, and look like everything is falling apart, because God is going to shake that which can be shaken. But you live in a kingdom that's unshakable. And you are unshakable. You are unshakable. So when you see these things coming, rejoice. For your Redeemer is at nigh. Jesus is close at hand. He's coming. He's coming. And for everybody who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been born again into an unshakable kingdom. So don't get confused here that it's all about you and your sin. And you got to somehow stop sinning, which I'm not saying you should sin, but the point is eternal life was about Jesus. He took away your sin. He shed His blood for your sin. Accept what He's done and start living in the eternal life, and I'll tell you, your life on this earth will be less sinful. But stopping sinning doesn't make you holy. Jesus made you holy. And a holy person doesn't sin, but the point is you got to get holy first. A lot of times we get it backwards and you try to spend your life getting holy when Jesus accomplished that for you. Grab on to what He did. Focus on what He has done for you and your life will change. And if you're led by the Spirit, you will have fruit that remains. It'll be godly fruit in Him. But you get holy, you get set apart, the Holy Spirit comes into a holy place, and you start doing holy deeds. Okay, that's the progress. It's not the other way around. But my whole motivation, and I don't know about you, but if you read the news or you look at what's going on, it's not so pretty out there. I think of my Adam and Cheryl, they just said they got tickets to Israel. And you hear what's going on in Israel, and it's not so good. There's a whole lot of shaking going on over there right now. But my prayer is that they will turn to the living God, that it'll really bring people to Jesus, that this shaking will really bring, that Jesus will reveal Himself. So even though there's shaking's going on, my focus is on eternal things for Israel. I mean, we got to pray for Israel and what's going on. But I'm telling you, the hope we have in our prayers is because we dwell in a place where we have confidence. And Adam and Cheryl can head to Israel with confidence. Not worried about other things. The only thing they need to worry about is the Lord's called them there. That's all they got to worry about. And that's all you have to worry about is the Lord's called you. The Lord has you doing things. That's what's important. So, I guess I could say like Paul, I beg you on behalf of the Lord, believe in Him. Believe in Him. But believe in Him even when the times get tough. We sing that song, you know, but sometimes the songs are just songs. But when times get tough, that's when we need to believe in Him. No, that's not true. When times are good, you need to believe in Him.
Absolutely.
So that when things get tough, you're still believing in Him. All right. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Jesus, for what You have done. Thank You for this life, this eternal life we have in You, this unshakable life, and this unshakable kingdom that we've been placed in, the kingdom of His beloved Son. Thank You. Thank You, thank You, thank You. And Lord, I pray that we would be a people showing gratitude to You, gratitude for what You have done, so that we can walk in a place of confidence the rest of our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close, I just want to...